The cop had kept going in the face of severe pain and even more severe weirdness. Damned heroic, really. But even heroes are human, and human bodies have limits you can't exceed. Everything had finally caught up to Rollins. His breathing was steady, and his wounded foot had swollen up so badly that his own shoe held down the bleeding. But I don't think a nuclear war could have woken him. I ground my teeth at what I had to do next. I set my deformed left hand on the floor of the van at the angle Lashiel had shown me, and let my weight fall suddenly onto it. There was an ugly pop, more pain, and then the agony subsided somewhat. It was a giddy feeling, and my hand looked human again, if bruised and swollen. "So," I said after I had worked up the energy, "it was you following me around town." "I didn't want to be seen openly with you," he said. "I figured the council might take it badly if they found out you'd taken a white court vampire on a warden ride-along." "Probably," I said. "I take it you followed them from the parking garage?" "No, actually," Thomas said. "I tried, but I lost them. Mouse didn't. I followed him. How the hell did they keep him away from you when they grabbed you?" "They hit him with this van," I said. Thomas raised his eyebrows and glanced back at Mouse. "Seriously?" He shook his head. "Mouse led me to you. I was trying to figure out how to get into that garage without getting a shot, then you made your move." "You stole my coat," I said. "Borrowed," he corrected. "They never talk about this kind of crap when they talk about brothers." "You weren't wearing it," he pointed out. "Hell, you think I'm gonna walk into one of your patented Harry Dresden anarchygasms without all the protection I can get?" I grunted. "You look good tonight." "I always look good," he said. "You know what I mean," I told him quietly. "Better, stronger, faster." "Like the $6 million man," Thomas said. "Stop joking, Thomas," I told him in an even tone. "You used a lot of energy tonight. You're feeding again." He drove, eyes guarded, his face blank. I chewed on my lip. "You want to talk about it?" He ignored me, which I took as a no. "How long have you been active?" I was sure he was stonewalling when he said in a very quiet voice, "Since last Halloween." I frowned. "When we took on those necromancers?" "Yeah," he said. There's something I didn't tell you about that night." I tilted my head, watching his eyes in the rearview mirror. "Remember I said Murphy's bike broke down?" "I did," I nodded. "It wasn't the bike," Thomas said. He took a deep breath. "It was the Wild Hunt. They came across me while I was trying to catch up with you. Sort of filled up the rest of my evening." I arched my eyebrows. "You didn't have to lie about something like that, man. I mean, everyone who won't join the hunt becomes its prey. So it's not your fault the hunt chased you around." I scratched at my chin. Stubble. I needed a shave. "Hell, man. You should be damn proud. I doubt more than 5 or 6 people in history have ever escaped the hunt." He was quiet for a moment and then said, "I didn't run from them, Harry." My shoulders twitched with sudden tension. "I joined them," he said. "Thomas," I began. He looked up at the mirror. "I didn't want to die, man. And when push comes to shove, I'm a predator, a killer. Part of me wanted to go. Part of me had a good time. I don't like that part of me much, but it's still there." "Hell's bells," I said quietly. "I don't remember very much of it," he said. He shrugged. "I let you down that night. Let myself down that night. So I figured this time I'd try to help you out, once you told me you were on the job again."
"You've got a car now, too," I said quietly.
"Yeah."
"You're making money and feeding on people."
"Yeah."
I frowned. I didn't know what to say to that. Thomas had tried to fit in. He tried to get himself an honest job. He tried it for most of 2 years, but it always ended badly because of who and what he was. I had begun to wonder if there was any place in Chicago that hadn't fired him. But he'd had this job, whatever it was, for a while now. "There anything I need to know?" I asked him. He shook his head, a tiny gesture. His reticence worried me. Though he'd been repeatedly humiliated, Thomas had never had any trouble talking, complaining, really, about the various jobs he'd tried to hold. Once or twice, he'd opened up to me about the difficulty of going without the kind of intense feeding he'd been used to with Justine. Yet now he was clamming up on me.